The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. I am talking about a very important subject today. My guest is Dawn Hawkins. Dawn is the CEO of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, the leading organization. I'm going to read this because this is amazing. The leading organization exposing the connections between all forms of sexual exploitation, including sex trafficking, prostitution, pornography, and child sexual abuse. Dawn Hawkins, welcome to this program.
Thank you.
There's nothing more important than this. I can't think of anything more important. Tell me, I mean, if somebody says to you, how did you get into this? I mean, this is an amazing thing to take on. It's gigantic. It's a giant. How did you get into this?
Well, at first I lived in Europe and I saw the intersection of prostitution, sex trafficking, pornography, sexual assault, all coming together there in Hungary. And when I came back to the United States, I just thought nobody's really focused on these issues, especially the role pornography plays in fueling those forms of abuse. So I got involved. And once you know, and you can't not fight for good.
Oh, yes, you can. That's the problem. But some people like you can't. And I thank God for you and for others who do what you do. This is gruesome stuff. And I think you have to really be a strong person to be in this world because it's just so dark. But tell us what we don't know. In other words, I think that there are a lot of people, obviously men, who think of pornography probably as a kind of doesn't harm anyone or something like that. It seems to me that you're saying that's not true.
It's definitely not true. There are numerous public health impacts from pornography, impacts harming those who are depicted in pornography, as well as those using and their families all around them. But you asked, what do people not know? I'd like to just shake into everybody that the fact that they don't know is that our youth are being inundated with sexually explicit material and images, and that's what we need to attack right now.
Actually, let me say this. I want to be really clear. There's no question that pornography harms the users of pornography and the people around them. In one way or another, that's a whole conversation. But there is no doubt about that. But I think people think, well, it's on me. It's kind of like drug use. It doesn't hurt anybody. It's just what I want to do. But the fact of the matter is that the people involved in it, in making it, it's a dark, horrible world. And that's really what you've been exposing.
Yeah, I'll share with you. We have a class action lawsuit right now against Pornhub and one against Xvideos. Those are the two largest pornography websites in the world, alleging that they knew that child sexual abuse material was uploaded to their website. They knew that material depicting non-consensually recorded individuals was uploaded to their website and sex trafficking individuals. There are hundreds, maybe thousands of victims who have had sexual abuse filmed and uploaded to these mainstream websites. So that's only, I'm only talking about those who had non-consensual abuse materials made of them. I'm not even talking about the rampant abuse in the mainstream industry.
But let me ask you, how is it that the people behind this are not in jail? How can we even be having this conversation?
I have the same question and demand to Congress. Why are we not criminally investigating these websites? We need to be. We just submitted a letter last week to Congress, 800 mostly survivors and NGOs from 70 countries demanding criminal investigations. We can't let them run free and act with impunity.
I mean, it's horrifying when you talk about things like, I mean, I can't even repeat it almost. You're saying that there are things that are non-consensual. In other words, somebody is sexually abused, they're filmed, and that gets uploaded to what is it, Pornhub? Mm-hmm. And what's the other one?
X Videos.
Okay.
But not so, only those sites, even sites like Twitter. We have a lawsuit against Twitter where non-consensual content, sex trafficked young men were filmed at age 13. They were lured, targeted, groomed, filmed. That abuse was uploaded to Twitter and allowed to continue to be shared on Twitter. Twitter has refused to remove it, even though the young boys said, I'm a child. Here's my ID. I'm a child. Twitter said
Twitter
it's still
refused
fine.
To remove it.
Correct. They refused to, allowing
why,
it.
Why would they conceivably refuse to remove minors being sexually abused that's been posted on Twitter? Why, in other words, I can't even imagine a reason. Why do you think that they would do something like that?
Well, I will tell you, in their motion to dismiss last week, they basically said it's not their fault. They don't have, it's not their responsibility to remove even abhorrent child sexual abuse material. Because they're immunized under a loss communication.
How does
decency
Jack Dorsey
act?
Not worry that some father is going to put a bullet in his head? I mean, if your son is sexually abused as a boy, and that's posted on Twitter, mm-hmm. and then the head of Twitter doesn't take it down, I would think it would be common sense that some irate parent would just lose it. How can you? I can't. As a parent, I can't think of anything more horrible.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I wouldn't suggest that people be vengeful, but how can the heads of Twitter, particularly Twitter, not worry just on the most simple level that mm-hmm. somebody is going to try to do something about that? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm astonished. That's like a snuff film. What excuse is there?
That's a good question. And I will say that the parents are there, and they are seeking justice, which is why they have led this effort to sue them and hold them accountable.
I cannot imagine that this is allowable in America. I mean, this is what I'm saying. As soon as I get into this, I'm just astonished that mm-hmm. this is possible.
My question is, why will Twitter restrict some speech, but when it's child sexual abuse material and the children are coming forth saying, this is me, I'm being extremely bullied, they won't remove that content?
I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm really astonished at that. So where is this lawsuit now? How does this stand? Where does it stand?
Twitter just filed their motion to dismiss, and now our attorneys are getting ready to respond. And so we'll keep you updated on how it goes. But it's groundbreaking, precedent-setting case.
So you're the CEO of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. How can people help you in what you're doing?
Well, I would say, initially, we need you to join with us in advocacy. We need to hold companies like Twitter, Google, Instagram accountable. Right now, Facebook with Instagram is trying to release an Instagram for kids. How can we even start to think that that's a good idea when Facebook is doing so little to protect kids on their platform at the moment? So asking you to join with me in calling on these companies to have better accountability, better tools in place, more structure.
What is the website for National Center on Sexual Exploitation?
nsexualexploitation.org.
nsexualexploitation.org. Okay.
Right.
And you are Dawn Hawkins, the CEO. When did you start National Center on Sexual Exploitation?
I did not start it. We've been around 60 years.
60?
Yeah. We focused on pornography initially and did a lot under President Reagan Bush, uh-huh. calling for federal investigations of obscenity.
Yeah.
But 10 years ago, we expanded to focus on all abuse and exploitation issues.
So what is this annual Dirty Dozen list?
Oh, that's my favorite project because yeah. we name and frankly, we shame some of the top mainstream companies in the United States who are propelling the sexual exploitation industry forward. Companies like Netflix, Google, Instagram, Snapchat. And we educate the public on the ways that they're involved in sexual abuse and exploitation and then give people opportunities to get involved. And these companies change. They almost always change their policies.
You have Walmart listed. Why is Walmart on this list?
We no longer have them listed. Walmart used to sell hardcore pornography DVDs and magazines through their online shop. Amazon still is. And we also were asking Walmart to remove Cosmopolitan magazine, which we would argue is harmful, especially to young people.
Cosmopolitan is piggish. It is totally piggish. Yeah. It's fascinating how some of these, you know, we think of them as cultural institutions. Helen Gurley Brown, Cosmo, and it's become just really, really filthy and gross. It's tacky. It's awful. And it's important that people know that. Well, we're going to go to a break. I'm talking to Dawn Hawkins, who's the CEO of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, endsexualexploitation.org. We'll be right back.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out.
I'll say goodbye to all my sorrow and bye.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back. I'm talking to Dawn Hawkins, who is the CEO of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. This is such dark stuff, but it actually is so encouraging to me that the National Center on Sexual Exploitation exists and is working against this legislatively. What was the thing you just mentioned to me off the air just a moment ago?
I was saying one of the things I think people could do a lot right now is help us change Google and their Chromebooks. So right now, Google leads the market in handing out Chromebooks to students who are learning from home, virtual school.
What are Chromebooks?
Chromebooks are just like an iPad, you know, but they're the Google version.
Okay, so the Google version of the iPad is called a Chromebook.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And so they are giving them out?
Yeah, so a lot of schools use Chromebooks. It's the majority of the market. And these are often not filtered, not safe. And so we're finding, especially right now during COVID, as we have heightened virtual schooling, that kids are being exposed to sexually explicit material, increased online bullying. They're rampant on social media.
Through their textbooks.
Yeah.
See, this is what I find interesting. Everybody acts as though technology is such a great thing. Sometimes, but the idea that you could be bullied through your textbook. You think of a textbook in paper, there's no chance that you're going to be bullied through that book. But suddenly you say, hey, let's put it online. Let's give away these wonderful Chromebooks. Google's doing this. And suddenly now it is a portal to every kind of distraction and, of course, things like bullying. That's kind of astonishing.
And Google could fix this problem. They told us 4 years ago that maybe, okay, maybe we'll do that. But now we're in a pandemic and they still haven't fixed it.
Now, why do you think they haven't fixed it?
Good question. Why?
No, but I mean,
why
haven't they fixed it? In other words, Google, it would seem to me, like any of these companies, they don't want trouble, right? So what are they getting out of this? Is this a greed thing? Do they care so little about our children that they just don't care about this issue?
I mean, that's one of my questions to them. We've been working with them, and I believe people there do care. But why have they not taken action? I think they haven't heard from enough of us to take action. They haven't felt the pressure. They haven't felt the pressure from parents, from schools, or from Congress. And so that's what one thing that you can do to help us is Google told us earlier last year, they just want to hear from more people that they want this. So, yeah. Okay, speak up with me.
Does anybody know the name of the head of Google? Like, why don't we all know this? Who's the head of Google?
Sundar.
What's the name?
Sundar.
No wonder we don't know it. I can't even say that. Sundar. Who is that?
He's the CEO of Google.
How do we spell that?
Sundar.
And what kind of a name is Sundar?
I forgot his last name.
Oh, that's his first name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first name is Sundar. Mm-hmm. Okay, Sundar, we're talking to you, pal. Obviously, Sundar does not think much of our kids. And I just think that we need to know who these people are, that there are people who make decisions. Mm-hmm. We've seen it in Hollywood for many decades, that there are people who clearly would rather make a buck than do a little something to help our kids. And we need to understand that if you use their products and give them money, you're saying you're okay with that. And I have to say to parents that you shouldn't be okay with that. If your kids are using Chromebooks by Google in school, I would even say why. Why are they doing that? How about paper textbooks? How about paper books, textbooks? In other words, what is the benefit? We're worried about the trees more than our children? Is that the issue? I just want to know. I want to find out what Sundar's last name is.
Pichai, I think. Pichar. P-I-C-H.
Well, there are not too many Sundars, so we'll just say, hey, Sundar, we're talking to you. And I have to say, it's just unacceptable. If you entrust a company with your kids, there's an assumption that you don't have to be looking over their shoulder, that they want to have some kind of relationship with their customers, but it doesn't seem like they do. I mean, I can't imagine why they wouldn't take this seriously. I guess there's no incentive for them. They're making money.
So one incentive we're calling for is Congress to pass the Earn It Act, which is the only federal legislation right now where there's bipartisan support, overwhelming bipartisan support, the Earn It Act. And it would create accountability for big tech, so that there's minimum standards, there's transparency. That's
so where is that now?
Thing. We're waiting for it to be reintroduced soon. It was introduced in the last Congress, so it'll be reintroduced in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. It will. Mm-hmm. Now, why wouldn't that have bipartisan support? I think I would assume that it would.
It does.
Are there heavy lobbyists against this?
It's super heavily bipartisan support.
Okay.
Are there lobbyists against it? Yes. If you try to Google it right now, you'll only get negative articles and lies about it, because big tech is 100% against this law, which would hold them accountable, if they knowingly are facilitating child sexual abuse material, they could be sued.
Okay, so the name is Sundar Pichal, P-I-C-H-A-L. I believe that's Norwegian. Sundar Pichal is using the money that we give him when we buy Google products and use Google to hire lobbyists to work against this bipartisan effort to hold him and Google accountable.
And all big tech.
Okay, so it's obvious that he doesn't want this to pass.
Of course, they
Google
definitely
doesn't
don't.
Well, but that's so that so we've answered my question, is that they don't care about this. In other words, they clearly have other things in mind. And I'm sure it's more than just profit, but it's mostly profit, and we have to hold them accountable. But of course, the problem with these big tech firms is that they're effectively monopolies. You know,
exactly.
That's the problem. Is Apple introducing anything along these lines of the Chromebooks? Do they have anything like that?
Apple is the same problem, and they're not doing anything to protect it. And iPads are also given out, but Google Chromebooks by far has the majority of the market.
Okay, and is currently the most wicked. Sundar Pichal. I'm being told that is Norwegian. Okay, so what can we do? Because as I talk to you, Dawn, I mean, first of all, again, I'm thrilled you guys exist, a National Center on Sexual Exploitation. But what can we do? Because there's so many of us that, you know, you hear about things and you just don't know what you can do.
Well, join with me in calling these companies to account. For example, with Netflix, we've been asking Netflix for years to institute parental controls to help us control what content our kids
are in. Netflix does not have parental control.
They do now, only because thousands of people joined with us in demanding that they institute them. Amazon Prime also just followed it, but it took years of demanding. So my request to all of you watching is to join with me, add your voice. We have easy petitions going straight to the CEOs. We have their faces. You can see, and you're sending a private message directly to them, calling on them to change. So that's a win. That was a win.
I'm assuming Sundar Pichai looks a lot like Thor Heyerdahl. Albin, you might want to look into that. Remember the Kon-Tiki and Ra expeditions? We'll talk about that later. So these CEOs, whether it's Tim Cook or Sundar Pichai or Jack Dorsey, they don't seem to be wanting to help us protect our kids. I mean, it's hard to think that that's possible, because you'd think that any semi-decent human being would see that as a priority. What do you suppose is in the head of a Jack Dorsey? I mean, I'm always curious about the other side. Why would they be working against what most parents in the whole world would be for? I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have that same question. All I can say is, quoting Jack Dorsey's Twitter's motion to dismiss, he says, for example, you know, we're suing them for trafficking teenage boys. And he says, their motion to dismiss says, thus the law does not punish a defendant or Twitter for participation in a lawful venture with sex traffickers or knowingly but passively receiving the financial benefits of sex trafficking. So they're saying basically the law is allowing it, is allowing them to make money off of partnering with sex traffickers. So until we fix the law.
Is Jack Dorsey a parent? Do we know?
I don't know.
Is Tim Cook a parent? Maybe because they're not parents. I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. They're too hip to understand that this is a real problem. Well, parents in America need to step up. So give us the website again, because I think this is it's just so horrifying to me. Tell us the website so we can do something.
Come to take action at endsexualexploitation.org.
Endsexualexploitation.org. Endsexualexploitation.org. Before we go to the break, I just have to ask you, how did you get into this? I mean, you said you were in Hungary. What were you doing in Hungary, and how did this suddenly become an issue for you? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I'll say that all of my siblings, there's seven of us, were impacted in some way or another by sexual abuse and exploitation, not at the hands of family members, but just because of the culture we live in. And so I know that that's happening in great abundance to so many young people. And so I was in Hungary doing a service mission, and that's where I saw all of this rampant.
It's just extraordinary. I noticed on your board a couple of people that I think I know, Robbie George and I can't think of his name, the lawyer from Western Massachusetts.
Hadley Arkus?
Hadley Arkus, yeah. As soon as I saw their names, I thought, wow, you got some solid citizens on your board. All right, so we're going to be back. We're talking to Dawn Hawkins, who is the CEO of National Center on Sexual Exploitation. Please go to endsexualexploitation.org, E-N-D, endsexualexploitation.org. We'll be right back. Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Hey there, friends. Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen.
Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204.
Hey there, talking to Dawn Hawkins. That's your married name.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn, because I was going to say you have A-W in both your surname and your Christian name. Dawn Hawkins, CEO of National Center on Sexual Exploitation. We're going to talk more about pornography. It's everywhere. It's disgusting. It's changing people's brains, and it's messing with marriages. What do we have to say that's new on this subject?
This is alarming. But in preparing for a testimony for Congress, we held three kind of informal focus groups with youth who are active church members. And I want to tell you about that. So in Virginia, Arizona, and Washington State, we asked these young people four questions. We asked, have you ever seen pornography on the social media sites you're on? And 100% of all the youth in those three states said yes. So they've all been exposed to
it. On social media?
On social media. Not going to porn.
Not going to porn sites, mm-hmm. but on social media.
Yeah. 100% of our young people, ages 15 to 17, saw pornography on social media. We asked them, had they been sent nude images by a stranger on any of their social media platforms? 95 to 100% said yes, depending on the state. We asked if they'd been asked to produce a nude image and send it to somebody through social media. 95 to 100% said yes.
Whoa.
Asked to send this.
Whoa.
And then the fourth question, which is very heartbreaking, is we asked them, had they ever been solicited for a sex act on social media? Asked to, in exchange for something of value, money, clothing, you know, some activity, to send nude images, meet in person, etc. And almost all of the youth said yes, they'd been asked this. And this is what's so alarming, because we as parents have no idea that this is the experience of our young people. Even I didn't know that. And so after church a couple Sundays ago, I was telling a mom in the parking lot about it, and her 17-year-old girl walked up, daughter, and the mom said, "Dawn, this isn't happening to my kids." And the 17-year-old came up to me, Emerald, and I said, "Emerald, how about you? Has this happened to you?" And she looked at the ground and said, "Yes." You know, they're not talking to their parents about this, but this is almost universally their experience online.
So again, people should go to jail for this kind of thing. People should be going to jail who are soliciting minors for this kind of thing. Why aren't they? In other words, you know, I'm gonna play dumb, because I actually am dumb, especially on the subject. How is it that this is happening in America?
I will say that a couple years ago, as we knew this was happening, the Department of Justice told us they were really focused on kind of the dark web and some of the more egregious crimes. But I think the reality is, it's because they don't recognize it's happening just on mainstream media, and it's happening to all of our youth.
So, like, what website? I mean, we're talking about TikTok?
Instagram and Snapchat are the number one places.
Instagram is the number one place, and Snapchat.
Where are this content?
So how is Instagram owned by
Facebook?
Okay. Mm-hmm. How is it possible that Mark Zuckerberg, I'm guessing he doesn't have kids.
Does he have kids? I will
say. Oh, he has kids. So why wouldn't he care about this?
I will say Instagram has made drastic changes. We connected with sex trafficking survivors in Washington, D.C. The oldest was 14 years old. And they explained to us how they were groomed, lured, et cetera, all on the Instagram platform. We went to Instagram, and they have made tremendous changes just a couple weeks ago, rolling out a new setting where if you are over age 18, you are not allowed to send a direct message to somebody under age 18, which is huge because that was the number one way these predators were targeting youth. So this is just recent. We'll see how it plays out and how it curbs the problem, but they are making changes. Is it enough? No. And what about all the other social media platforms?
Mm-hmm. It's so horrifying that it's very tempting to look away just to say that this is so unpleasant. This is so evil. But we live in a culture where a lot of this stuff has been normalized and people shrug. So I guess we shouldn't shrug. Let me tell people again that you should go to endsexualexploitation.org if you're interested in this. I'm just amazed at the focus groups that you mentioned, that it's that pervasive. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. So clearly people are making money off of this. A lot of money is being made off of this. Otherwise, it wouldn't be so pervasive.
Of course. Which is why we can't look the other way. And our kids can't look the other way. It's everywhere where our kids are.
Yeah, I mean, it's astonishing. I mispronounced Sundar's last name. I'm being told it's Jones. Albin?
Pickai.
Pickai?
Yeah.
Sundar Pickai is the head of Google. I'm always curious about folks like this, that they have tremendous responsibility, and nobody knows who Sundar Pickai is. I've heard his name only now for the first time. And these people have tremendous power. And they don't seem to be behaving in a way that's consonant with the power we've given them. Mm-hmm. And so we have to hold them accountable. I don't know where Sundar Pichai lives, whether he has kids. But these folks need to understand that if you have that kind of power, you need to be held accountable. And it would be nice if you tried to hold yourself accountable. It would be a nice gesture. I guess it's so funny because when we're talking about this, we're always talking about social media. Mm-hmm. There was a day when it was print magazines, when it was TV, and you know, these things keep changing. But now it's become increasingly focused on social media, and it's hard to protect our kids. We're going to be right back talking to Dawn Hawkins, CEO of National Center on Sexual Exploitation.
Without an umbrella with soap to the skin, I feel a shiver run up my spine. I feel the warmth of her hand in mine.
Welcome back. I'm talking to Dawn Hawkins, CEO of National Center on Sexual Exploitation. Dawn, this is such a dark subject, but you and the National Center on Sexual Exploitation give people hope that somebody is doing something. And as I said earlier, I want to know how we and my listeners and viewers can help. What can people do? I mean, parents and grandparents right now, as they hear something like this, what can they do besides go to the center, the center's website?
Thanks for asking that, because as hard and dark as this is, there is so much hope and there's so much good happening. So in addition to helping us as advocates hold these corporations accountable or going with us to Congress, asking them to pass helpful legislation, there's so much you can do at home and for the families around you. So I'd say one of the most important pieces of advice I can give you, and I'm a mom of four, and so I'm living this advice myself too, but be where your kids are online. You know, sometimes I just want to be like, I'm done online. I want to close my computer and be done, but I need to be present where my kids are. And that's so important to understand the experiences that they're having. There's also some really great resources. There's filters. All of our devices have built-in parental controls. They're not perfect, but turning those on will make such a big difference. In fact, we just got a law passed in Utah that says all smartphones and tablets, if turned on in the state of Utah, have to be the by default, the safety pieces have to be on if you're underage. And we're looking to pass that in other states as well. So you could join with us. Having regular and frequent conversations with your young people in your life about these issues. And we might feel nervous and embarrassed to talk about it, but they don't. They're hungry to talk about these issues. So talking about it regularly with them is so key.
Hmm. I want to go back to the Dirty Dozen list. You mentioned different mainstream tech companies. Maybe it's not just tech companies. Is it just tech companies or is it other kinds of companies?
This year we focused mostly on tech because of COVID and everyone went virtual.
But, right. Mm-hmm. But what company, I mean, give me an example of a non-tech company that would, there'd be an issue on this.
Well, let me tell you this one. United was on the Dirty Dozen list last year because
United Airlines,
because sexual assaults were rampant on their among customers and flight attendants. Why?
What?
They had bad policies for sexual harassment, as well as they allowed customers to watch pornography during flights.
Wait,
United.
A minute. Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
United Airlines allowed customers to watch pornography on flights when you're sitting 0.2 inches
or a child's right behind
from
you.
People next to you and children. Mm-hmm. United. Now, why? So the other airlines have different policies?
It's kind of, yeah, they all now say that they don't allow it, but they are not good at training their flight attendants. So we're working with the airline industry to better train their flight attendants, because increasingly this is a common thing. The important thing to note is United changed, because thousands of people sent messages to their executives through our tools. They agreed to change. And so there's some hope there. And we are getting many of these companies to change policies as we hold them accountable.
But this is just astonishing. I mean, it speaks to the vulgarization of the culture. You kind of think of what kind of pig would watch pornography on a plane. It's so disgusting that it's inconceivable that somebody would be such a tacky person that they would not even be aware that they're doing something in a public space. Let's be honest, it's a public space with it's like a crowd. You're in a tight crowd with people sitting around trying to live their lives, and you're doing something like that. So it's just disgusting. But then the idea is that if those people are going to do that, the idea that the airline would allow it is just wild.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just wild. Mm-hmm. And but other airlines, they don't have a record on this, or there haven't been as many?
Not as many cases. But Delta also. I was on a Delta flight where a man watched pornography in front of me of all people in the
country.
Did
you say anything?
Oh, yes, I said something. And the
I would raise
flight
hell.
Attendant.
Oh, Mike, if anybody did that near me, they would be very sorry. They would be sorry.
I think,
because that's just so unacceptable. It's astonishing that people would do that. I mean, as a man, okay, I'm thinking about other women, mothers, grandmothers, girls. I mean, just that is just, it is an astonishing thing that people could be so poorly socialized that they would even dream that that might be acceptable.
Exactly. And that's the perfect thing to action right here. When you see sexual abuse and exploitation, calling it out and opposing it wherever you are, if it's on an airline, if it's a checkout line.
But people are gutless. Many people are total cowards. I've seen this. They don't want to say anything. And I think, do you have no, you know, because people, I mean, this gets to the issue that I talk about a lot, about how people are ultimately selfish in the sense that it takes something to say something. It takes something. And you ought to be willing to do that for the sake of the culture around you. Mm-hmm. Don't just think about yourself like it's going to cost me something, but it's the right thing to do. And if everybody did that, this would not happen.
I will say that more than half of our advocacy campaigns win. So more than half of the time, if you speak up, when you see exploitation, you will win.
Oh, no,
so
I totally, that's why I'm saying like that it's preposterous to be cowardly, because there is no question that if people do this, it is very effective.
It could change culture.
Everybody, if everybody said something or just made the person uncomfortable and said like, hey, that's not acceptable, or that's not, or tell the flight attendant or whatever it is, this would end because people would, the word would get out like, you better not do that. But people are quiet. And so people are allowing this to continue, which is, you know, it's kind of a stunt. It really is on us that we need to step up. But I just can't. I'm amazed. But I've seen stuff like this. Not quite pornography, but I'm always amazed.
Well, let me tell you another one of my favorite victories was with the Department of Defense. We put the Department of Defense on the Dirty Dozen list a few years ago because sexual assault was rampant throughout the military, and they were selling hardcore pornography through all the base exchanges. And they often allowed pornography to be hung up in public and workspaces around the military. So we called them out. Congress called them out. Thousands of individuals and military spouses and members called them out, and they changed.
Yeah.
They totally stopped, got out of business.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that it's just so hopeful when we realize that this is doable. We can do something about it. So you can speak up wherever you are, but you can also join with Dawn and the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. The website again?
EndSexualExploitation.org.
EndSexualExploitation.org. And you have to spell exploitation correctly, otherwise it doesn't work. EndSexualExploitation.org. Dawn Hawkins, just a joy to know you're doing what you're doing. God bless you. Keep up the good work, and we'll have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
That old wheel will roll around again, yes, when love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong. And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Unbelievable. The guests we get on this program.
I don't know.
I don't know how we do it.
I don't know.
I don't know how we do it. Hey, I got to just say something.
Yes.
We've got to tell people again and again and again. Yesterday, we were completely forever knocked off of YouTube.
That's right.
And folks, I've been looking into this. This is Maoist, Soviet-style intimidation. It is wrong on every level. And if you think you're going to silence me, let me tell you something. If you knew who my parents were, no, I don't think it's going to happen. Good luck.
Yeah.
Keep trying. But in America, we have to speak up, and especially when they try to silence you. We have had the most wonderful guests, and we put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
They're all gone. You have to go to Rumble. Even better, and I'm begging you, folks. I'm just begging you. Go to my website, ericmetaxas.com. Please sign up for the newsletter. Please, 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 because there's no way to get all the information out to you that we want to get out to you. So just sign up for it. You'll see what I mean.
Right. Alvin, you can still hear the guest at metaxastalk.com. We've got the whole podcast there.
But obviously.
The video.
But if you want to see it, and I know so many of you want to see, for example, what are we wearing today?
That's
if,
right.
If you're not watching the video, you can't see what we're wearing. We could tell you anything. I am wearing a union suit.
Love it.
And I'm smoking a corncob pipe.
And I have not had a haircut in 6 weeks. I'm looking like a bald, shaggy dog right now.
I was going to say, my hair has started to thin, and I want to know, Alvin, what's your secret?
Well, I just let it go, brother.
You just let it ride.
Okay,
we got to mention two things real quick before we go to the next guest. A lot of people know that Father's Day is coming up. Folks, Father's Day is coming up. I don't expect any big gift.
No.
But it wouldn't hurt. But here's the issue. Father's Day, we have a film on SalemNow.com. Now, people should be going to SalemNow.com anyway because there's a lot of great programming there. But SalemNow.com, there's a new film coming out called The Streets Were My Father. You can tell it's kind of a dark story, but it ends very, very wonderfully. It's an inspirational film about, I guess you have to be honest. If you didn't have a father, Father's Day might really be a hurtful day, might be a difficult day for you. And so this film deals with three men from the urban community, two Hispanics, one black. And I got to tell you, the story of their lives, of not having a father and what happened to them. And this is a fact. 85% of youths in prison, 85% of youths in prison come from homes without a father. If you don't realize that that is the problem in America right now, you're not paying attention. That is one of the most overwhelming statistics conceivable. So the film is called The Streets Were My Father. Go to SalemNow.com, SalemNow.com. Once a year, we have a program with Christian Solidarity International. They are literally freeing slaves in Sudan.
That's right.
It seems satanic and unthinkable that slavery exists in 2021. Ladies and gentlemen, apart from you giving, it does. In other words, right now, you could give $250 to CSI, go to metaxastalk.com, And you can literally free a slave. And the money doesn't only pay to make that happen, but it sets them up in a new life. It's an astonishing thing that they get, how far American money goes in Africa. It is astonishing. But in Sudan, they still have slaves. These Muslim slave traders, they believe in slavery. They don't have a theological issue with it, as Christians do, but didn't always, obviously. So we want you to go to our website, MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com. Check out the banner CSI.
Or call the phone number, which is 888-253-3522.
Let me spell that out. 888-253-3522. Whatever you give, folks, there's nothing more important than using the money that we have, which is a lot, to give it to a cause like this. You're literally freeing slaves. We'll tell you more about that on this program. How much time do we have left?
That's it, buddy.
We're out of time?
Yeah.
Okay, folks, please do that. You've got a couple of assignments. No kidding. Go to ericmetaxas.com. Sign up for the newsletter, please. We need your help. And please go to metaxastalk.com and do what you can for CSI. God bless you.